Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 20 of the NBL Pocket Podcast. Taking a break from free agency news and things. There has been a bit of movement and I'll be getting to that in next week's episode. This week I'm interviewing Clinton Gardner, ClintDog.com. If ever you've gone searching for NBL material on the internet and on YouTube, you'll definitely see this guy's website and things pop up. Clint may be the owner of the largest collection of NBL merchandise and games and jerseys in the known universe. He puts out the call to anyone who might have a collection bigger or grander than his. If you do, by all means, get in touch with me at Twitter or Clint himself. But get in touch with me and I can get in touch with Clint at NBL Pocket Pod on Twitter. We talk about everything. Clint is a musician and he talks about where you can find his music towards the end of the episode, so you can definitely track him there. But we talk about everything from his collection, what he's got, when he started collecting it, how he got it, and the players that have come through. And we talk about his time as working administration with the Hunter Pirates. We had a bit of a chat. It was a fun episode. If I can just be honest, I'd been drinking the night that I called Clint, so it was free-flowing and a lot of fun. If I say anything out of turn, which I don't think I did, I've listened to it back, I think I'm pretty safe. But that's the explanation. Okay, I was having fun that evening and it was a late call. Clint's a really good guy, had a lot of fun. I hope you enjoy the episode.
Good man. All right, let's start at the top. So you've got... When would you say you started your collection of NBL stuff?
Where'd I start it?
What year?
Well, personally, it would have been probably 1988.
But you've got stuff from before that.
I've got stuff from before that, yeah.
What, from where? Like what? Because as far as my memory, so I'm born in 87, right? So my memory goes back to like the early 90s, like the 93 grand final, right? Between Perth and Melbourne. Gaze versus Ricky Grace, blah, blah, blah. That's on it, like, on Channel 10 at midnight. That's not even shown live, I don't think. So
Well, I think, man, like I was saying, I just recorded the stuff on VCR tape.
You just felt like doing it, just did it.
Just did it, just recorded. I pretty much didn't, do full games, just did highlights.
Yeah,
but in saying that, I've collected a few games over the time, and like some people have given me boxes of DVD. I mean, boxes of VCRs, tapes.
People have given you stuff, DVD. Friends or people have found you.
Old NBL players.
Old NBL players. Okay, like who?
Yeah. Well, Grant Kruger gave me a whole box full of tapes
that he just taped himself, or that he got from somewhere.
Well, I think it was his. I'm not quite sure, but he taped some. But some are game tapes. Some of the tapes that were given to him by, you know, Ken Cole, Tom Wiseman, and who was the other coach? Brennan Joyce.
Right.
They were like saying, look, man, this is your assignment this week. This
like
is what you're doing.
What do you call it? Like rap sheets on guys. Scouting videos.
Yeah, scouting videos, yeah. Oh, and he's like, this is your video to the coaches. Are like, this is your video, this is your job, you're guarding so-and-so this week, you're going to shut him down, this is what he does.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's none of that on the tape, but it's just the footage of
just
the guy.
Like his move, and they'd sit down with him and say, like, all right, this move here, da-da-da, and pause the tape.
That's
but they,
right.
They clip it together.
Yes, and I've got a few of those tapes, but the bad thing about that one is that they don't have any, like, commentary, no audio or anything like that. It's
just
straight footage. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so your collection sort of starts from 88. Any other players give you anything? You got Grant Kruger, anyone else?
Peter Harvey. I'm actually catching up to Peter Harvey soon because he texts me a photo of all these VCR tapes he's got, I think, like from 89 when he started his career in Newcastle.
Yeah, okay. Newcastle.
Yeah,
Falcons,
until like Falcons, yeah. Maybe to 92, I think, when he left.
Right, 92. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, again, a little bit before my time, but these names ring a bell.
Yeah. Well, Peter Harvey, he played on the Gold Coast as well for the Rollers.
Yeah, no, I remember.
And the Brisbane Bullets as well.
I remember him. So are you a fan, like, from then through to now, or?
Well, I've sort of played, like, high-level basketball, but not NBL such, you know, so.
Would you have played, what was it here, Waratah League?
Yeah, I played Siebel when it was, in 1990, I played Siebel for the Newcastle Hunters when it was like a full second division competition. Yeah. It was a pull up the southeastern states and all that type of stuff.
If you've played at that time, that would have been after someone like Dredrick Irving, I take it, who's the only Siebel guy I really know.
That was before. He was mid-90s, I think. I was 1990, yeah.
Oh, so you got before him?
I was before him, yeah. Okay. I played against old NBL players, Ken Lepperson. Who else was in the team? Dwayne Nelson.
Okay. And what position
did you
play?
That, yeah. I was just a point guard. I'm a little man.
Okay, little guy. All right, how'd you go?
Man, there's a stat sheet I've got. You know the game, beginning of this year, the NBL game, was it Melbourne and someone that went into four overtimes?
Yeah, it was Illawarra and Perth, I think. No, Melbourne and Illawarra.
Melbourne and Illawarra.
Yeah, Melbourne and Illawarra, yeah.
Yeah, well, I played in the Siebel game that went into four overtimes as well, and there was three people on each team left on the court.
I think I've heard about this or something similar.
It was versus Keilor Thunder.
Wow, that's, yeah.
And
okay.
In Keilor, yeah. And what happened was, this was in 1990, what happened was is the air conditioning at halftime, we had to change courts because the air conditioning started to leak all over the court.
Oh, my God.
Good. And what happened was is they transferred us to another court, and that went into four overtimes. Oh, and, of course, I got some court time there.
Yeah, well, I would think so. I think most guys were. That's awesome. And you were saying you had a connection with the Hunter Pirates.
Yes, I worked for the Hunter Pirates. I worked for Butch Hayes for, like, what were they in the league, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah,
like that.
I think they come in sort of early 2000s, 2002 or 3 maybe, or maybe a bit earlier.
03, 04, I think.
I think, yeah, 03, 04, and maybe 05, and then that's about it. And then they got turned into the
Swingers.
They
had 3 seasons in the league.
Their first year was bad, and then their second 2 years were actually quite good, but it just didn't work out.
The third year was their best. The third year was their best under Doc Hurley there. He got them going good.
Yeah, like Adrian Hurley. So I knew him from sort of Perth and a few things. What was he like as a guy? Did you meet him?
Oh yeah, he actually coached before, or maybe in the off season, I think, before he did the Pirates gigs. He actually coached me at like the Waratah League level. Well, I was playing State League, which was the next one down. But he was the Waratah League coach, and we all sort of the State League and the Waratah League. We all trained together as a club and the youth league all together. Mate, Doc Hurley, honestly, like, he got the best out of me. I don't know how, but he got the best out of me. He got the best out of me, and the results of that would be, or the proof of that, sorry, would be, I was actually the MVP of the Newcastle State League that year.
There you go.
He coached. So he got it out of me, and I was, honestly, man, I was like Shane Heal. Drilling those threes.
There you go.
You need a ball. High percentage. Boom.
Was NBL ever a conversation?
Well, that's the thing. I actually retired the next year from playing because I knew what it took. And I put my head down, and Doc Hurley was running us just like an NBL club, you know. And he was running us, and he was running the same stuff that he was running at the Perth Wildcats. Yep. Running the same stuff, you know, defense and offense. Yep. Yeah, and boomers and all that type of stuff. And he, you know, this is what was good, and it got it, like, not just me, other players got the best out of them as well.
Right. And he was a guy, like, obviously he had, I just remember him mainly at the Wildcats, where they were winning a lot, and then all of a sudden he just fell out of favour with the players. Was he kind of fiery or anything like that?
No. He's laid back. He's pretty laid back. Yeah, he's pretty laid back.
Oh, man, because, I mean, I never really got to the, I mean, this is, we're going back 20 years, but I remember him kind of button heads at the Wildcats, but, you know, it could have been over anything. All right, and so
that was
you,
95, I think.
Yeah, thereabouts. Yeah, that sounds about right. And so you're with Hunter. What did you do there?
At the Hunter Pirates, I was just the courtside announcer, and basically during the week, I was working, like, because I DJ and MC and all that type of stuff. So I was basically their DJ doing some events and stuff here and there, and working a little bit in the office and all that type of stuff. So with Butch Hayes and Dave Simmons.
Well, that's what I was about to say, because he was, what, assistant coach, I think, Dave Simmons.
Dave Simmons was the coach at one stage when they fired
Hurley.
No, they fired Bruce Palmer.
Bruce Palmer. All right, so he's the coach. So then I can only assume Ben Simmons is poking around.
Ben was, I'll give you a little scoop, Ben was a towel boy when I was doing the doing the emceeing, announcing for the games.
Was he a rat bag? What was he like?
No. He was
good. Look, kid. He
when Ben
quiet,
came on the scene. Oh yeah, yeah. But when Ben came on the scene, first I knew of him, he was like a 3 or 4 year old kid. Wow. And honestly, you know how Dave is really big and built. This 3 or 4 year old kid was big like that, you know? And you could tell he was just gonna go some places, you know.
And he was just kinda hang around as towel boy. So there'd be footage. So then if you're doing these MCs, there'd be games, Hunter Pirate games.
I guarantee you, if you get Hunter Pirate games and have a look at the frizzy haired kid, that's Ben Simmons.
And you've been doing the MC stuff.
I'm doing the MC stuff. And I think I've had a look at a game. There's a game, I think it's 04, 05 on the actual NBL's website, on their in their videos or whatever, old school classics or something. They've actually got a Hunter Pirates game in there. I think it's first Cairns from memory, and I'm the one MCing.
All right, yeah, I'll cope a lookout. I have sort of poked around a little bit on the NBL Classic. I mean, I'm assuming that your collection, I mean, they've got full games, like you said. You've got more like clips and shows and things.
But well, I've got a lot of full games now because of Krugs and Peter Harvey and that, giving me the boxes. Because
their collection on, what is it, NBL TV Classics is pretty good. You probably there's a couple of games. There's a lot of games on there, anywhere between sort of 50 and 100 maybe.
Oh, yeah.
So they got some good stuff, but you'd have maybe some stuff that could add to that. The NBL's never like got a hold of you or thought to get a hold of you or anything?
Well, funny you say that. I think it was about, maybe a month ago now, 5-6 weeks ago. About probably 2 or 3 years ago, I posted the Reebok 3-on-3 from 1993 up on the Gold Coast.
All right, yeah.
I posted the full, I had the tape of the full event.
Right.
Anyway, I posted that up there, and about a month ago, the NBL they actually cropped out my website and showed the Jim Havrilla dunk, the one where he broke the backboard and stuff. And I'm like, hey,
this
is my video, because you want to know why I knew it was my video? Just as he does the dunk, the tape rolls. There's a little bit of flickers, and bang! I'm like, that's mine. They stole that.
Well,
so I got on the phone.
I
got on the phone, man. Yeah, and I spoke to the NBL office. Spoke to him, and he said the same thing as you. He goes, mate, they were cool about it. They deleted the video straight away. They went, yep, sorry, we just realised, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And he said, and by the way, where'd you get all your videos from?
because your name kept coming up, because I just poke around on YouTube, type in stuff. See, I sort of like Googled, NBL, da, 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 NBL 90s, whatever, and, a lot of Hoops TV kept coming up, and I just kept seeing in the corner, Clint Dog. But it was, some of it was presumably your YouTube account, because some of it was like, Clint, and then other stuff was a bit of hodgepodge from everywhere, NBL sites, other guys, and it all had that, your sort of ClintDog.com in the corner. So a lot of people looked at your stuff.
Yeah, right.
Because now on YouTube,
go
to YouTube. I don't remember
various ones,
but various all kinds of stuff. But yeah, because now on YouTube, you can literally there's obviously sites. You can just take the URL.
And
read
video
straight away. So
what the NBL did. They did that and cropped out my website. Cropped out the old website, and then. I just knew. I said, that's my video. I don't know who else has got that. And I've had it on the internet for years. And yeah, the reason why I know this is because I posted on the internet, 2.5 years ago. And, man, in all honesty, about 100 people have watched it. So no one's got it. No one knows about it, Yeah, so.
I mean, NBA stuff, even I've got a few tapes of a few games and whatever, a little bit of NBL, but NBL stuff is as rare as hen's teeth. You've done really well to keep it all.
Yeah, man.
Because did you have all the Hoops TV and stuff? Is that you?
Every episode, yep. Every episode of Hoops TV, except for maybe one that I probably slept in and didn't record or something like that.
But yeah, they're all,
up there, man.
There's they get rolling. One
Sunday basketball, Saturday basketball, because they used to have Billy Woods on the Saturday basketball, and then after that they used to have the NBA, before that they had the NBA, then they had the NBL, and then the next day they had the game of the week or something, and then they had the Sunday basketball show with Billy Woods as well. Mate, I recorded all them.
Good man. Yeah, no, you've
recorded all them.
And how
posted most of them.
What would you post most? But what would you say you've still got left to digitize? At a percentage, I'd guess.
Oh man, I've probably got about another 200 tapes. And there's probably about another 250, 300 DVDs that I haven't even uploaded yet.
Holy shit. So you just have thousands of hours.
Yeah. I've got a lot of hours, man. And that's why I haven't uploaded it all or posted it all.
I think you're smart, wise to do that.
It takes forever.
Yeah, it would. Wow.
Oh, man. Ripping them and then, you know, uploading them.
It's probably quicker now, but not by a lot.
Nah. And sometimes you get a video with error in it and you got to fuck around with it and try and get it up there. But eventually I get it all done.
Yeah, no, I used to do a bit of that back in the day. Yeah, it's really time consuming, especially from tapes, especially even from DVDs. Yeah. What do you think about the NBL coverage now? Like you said, you tape a lot of like Hoops TV. What do you think about the like extracurricular NBL stuff now?
I've been watching at the beginning of this year. I started watching Overtime.
Yep.
And what's the other show? The Basketball Show.
Basketball Show.
With Shane Heal and Nathan.
I actually saw some of your comments about it being late all the time.
Yeah, man, that's what I was about to say. All year, Shane Heal and Nathan were up there going, send in your stuff, everybody, send in your stuff. And I'm sending in stuff every week and nothing's getting done, not one little thing. And, you know, and they're showing some kid in under 12s, you know, shooting at the bottom of the hoop or something. And
yeah. And
I'm just going, these guys are never going to do anything. So anyway, I think I posted the, they were promoting the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes.
And Shane Heal with his foot on the out of bounds line from the 3-point, you know, in the corner.
Uh-huh.
He that's his sort of forte he worries about. And one of the Harlem Globetrotters is stepping on the out of bounds. And I posted a still shot of that, and still they didn't even put it on there, you know? So at the end of the year, I sort of said to him, look, I've had enough because I've just gone to the show and I wanted to watch it now, and it's not on. And you posted on your Facebook page that it's available. Up and ready to go.
Yeah, they had a bit of trouble with that. I don't know what happened. But yeah, I mean, bottom line was, I enjoyed that show. You liked it, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I didn't mind the show. That's the thing. Don't mind Shane Heal. Like I told you before, Shane Heal is a legend of Australian basketball, great. You know?
And such a good commentator.
Or a commentator as well. And I love it. So, you know, and he tells it how it is too, like he did that's when he played. So, you know, I'm interested in that.
Lilydale tour. Yeah, I think, I was interested in that show. What about Overtime with Cam Luke, Homicide, and Sam Maria?
Yeah. Well, Liam's blocking on Facebook, but anyway, this is before the Twitter. He's blocked me on.
What for?
Yeah. This was before he did the show, and even before he started working as a commentator. I don't know. I must have said something that tickled his fancy or something. I don't know. But I don't mind him. He's got knowledge. You know, he knows what's going on,
and I
appreciate it. Yeah, and I like it too. And Homicide, you know, like way back, I sort of didn't really like Homicide, but you know. He tells it how it is now.
In his playing days, I hated him. You know,
that's what I mean, yeah, and I didn't like him there. But, you know, as the commentator on the Overtime, you know, I listen to his side. Sometimes he goes on his own tangents, but that's cool. And
it's a bit of fun.
Sam Luke, yeah, he follows me on Instagram. Oh, sorry, on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good
sign. So we're cool there.
And then I'm just thinking, what I find strange now about the media, like before you had like Saturday Morning Basketball, Hoops TV.
Yeah.
You don't really have anything for the kids now. Like, Overtime's a serious show. The Basketball Show is, again, a pretty serious show. You don't have that, like, Saturday morning, because I remember that stuff was just great. Hoops TV.
Oh, yeah. Hoops TV was, like, 8 in the morning, and then, you'd get up and watch that, and then you'd maybe, I think, NBA Action or Inside Stuff or something like that was on.
Inside Stuff. You don't really have that for the kids anymore.
They have nothing. They have nothing like that, man.
And considering, like, okay, commercial networks is tough, and I think NBL's only just come back to commercial, I think this season, maybe. Last season, pardon me. I mean, they still don't have, like, on commercial air, still don't have, like, a little half-hour
show
for the kids for the show. It's all done online now, and you would have thought, even if that's the case, they should be doing some online for the kids.
Yeah, that's right, and it's not happening.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe there's a market for me and you somewhere.
Well, I thought about doing like NBL retro, doing it like using tapes, throwbacks to old stuff. I think that could be kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's something in the future.
I thought of doing something similar. I thought of doing, you know, those clips I was telling you about, or videos that have got no commentary.
Yes.
I thought I might get on there and do a commentary from, you know, 2019. You know, and get on there, and me being an announcer myself, an ex-NBL home court announcer, I'll get on there and I'll commentate the game, yeah. 2019 style, you know,
yeah.
And give them a good outlet, you know.
That'd be fun. Or even get the tapes and get the original player and the old coach to sit down and watch it and try and remember what they were
exactly,
saying.
Exactly, or that'd an ex-player or something like that. That'd yeah, yeah, that would. You're onto something, man. You're onto something.
So. Hey, up here for thinking. What year do you think you followed the NBL the closest? Like, what's, you know how they always say, like, your favorite Saturday night
favorite
like,
year?
Cast is like when you're in high school. What was your year that you were like, you were going for it? Or was there a year?
Probably, man, probably 89 for me. 88 or 89.
Okay.
What's
going on in that year? Hang on. That's
before my 88, career. That's North Melbourne one. They beat Canberra. Yeah, that's when Tad Dufamire got thrown out in game three.
Okay. I'll have to NBA classics for all that.
Man, I think I've uploaded all that footage to my channel. It's all on there, brother.
I will be the first one there. For me, my favourite year, I remember getting in touch with you about this, when Darren Brooks was the import for the Wildcats, would have been sort of 2000.
Yes.
I'm going to go into that first year that Hunter became Slingers. So whatever year that was, 07, 08 maybe?
Slingers. 06 maybe? 06.
Okay, that sounds about right. 06. I remember they had an import
06, 07,
Darren
maybe,
Brooks, who was not a great scorer, and he's kind of been forgotten in the ether of the NBL. But he was just such a teammate, and I've been trying to get footage of him, and there's one game on NBL Classics against the Slingers, Perth Wildcats against the Slingers. But he was a hell of a player. I loved to watch him play. That was my favourite year.
Sure.
You watch him much now?
The NBL?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Look, honestly, I've been the NBL's biggest critic, you know, and they were going downhill for a long time there, like in, you know, those years we're just talking about.
I say this, they were going 07, it's on a steady decline. Until 2 years ago.
To about, I was about to say 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I started sort of watching the games. Like, put it this way. I watched every single NBL game that was available to me, you know, like in the downtimes as well, you know. And matter of fact, I was probably the only one at the club saying, hey, can you switch the TV to Fox Sports because I want to watch the NBL.
That conversation is still difficult now at every pub. I'm like, NBL,
it's
on Fox 2. That's standard definition. Yeah. It's fine. Don't worry about the angle you have to do now. But it's coming up anyway.
Yeah, and honestly, up until probably about 2 years ago, I was watching it because I'm an NBL fanatic.
Yeah.
But that's the only, I'm an NBL diehard. So that's why I was sort of watching it. But man, the last 2 years, I didn't say anything last year because I thought, well, listen, I'll give them another year. And see what's going on and see how, you know, because it was good 2 years ago and it was exceptional this year, you know, as well. So yeah, and honestly, Larry Kay and all that, they've done everything good.
I hope they can keep going. I mean, I remember about, I'm going to go ahead and say sort of 08, 09, 10 is when the league is like on the canvas. I remember it was the...
Man, Andrew Gaze was on the project saying... Shut it down for a year.
Shut it down for a year. I remember him saying that. That's a bit of egg on the face. But I mean, I remember it being...
I've got that video too, by the way. Okay. If you want.
I would like that. That'd be fun. I've seen a few radio things, but not the full interview. The league was on the canvas, and I remember it was because of a sports apparel company that sort of got into bed with the Sydney Kings, Brisbane Bullets, and a couple others, and just totally went bust. I think it was called Sports.
Yes. Yes.
And almost took that's three teams and almost the league with it.
Yeah, to get them out.
Yeah.
But that's the same thing the old school Newcastle Falcons. They went down because of something like what you just said. They went down because of their sponsor. Scott. You know, I think it was Topper Shoes. Remember them?
Yeah, vaguely.
Oh yeah, well they were probably a nothing brand, but Topper, the name was, and they went bust, and
took them with them.
Yeah, that's why the Falcons went down. Yeah, because they didn't have a major sponsor.
Hunter did the same thing. I think they were thinking about getting a new stadium, and then a sponsor pulled out, and that was it. And then they sold their license to Singapore.
No, the stadium's never got approved. They were never ever going to get approved. And there's a stadium only. This will back up what I just said. The actual Newcastle basketball stadium, Broadmeadow Basketball Stadium. I've just heard this week that they've got approval to build another stadium in, I think it's Cardiff somewhere or somewhere like that. Okay. But they actually got approval to build one right next to the Broadmeadow one. But apparently some heritage thing, and they're not allowed to do it anymore. So that's gone down the tube as well.
Because, I mean, I'm looking at Newcastle, and there's a big talk of a new team coming in, right? Obviously, not including the Phoenix they're in. But, you know, there's talk of, Southern Huskies in Tasmania. There's talk of maybe another New Zealand team. And I'm looking at Newcastle, and I'm like, ooh, it's right on the... It'd be a small, small team, but, you know, Newcastle...
Foundation club.
That's in its strength. Looking like a good little place. Like, it's got a bit of a name about it. It's got a decent population, kind of young. If we can get a decent stadium and someone who's motivated, it's actually not a ridiculous idea, but... I mean, you look at how popular Sydney would be in, so I don't know. What do you think about Newcastle as a team?
Well, the deal would be, I'll tell you what happened with the Pirates, and this is the reason why the Pirates went broke, or not went broke, but went bust.
Yeah.
The thing is that they had, the Hunter Pirates had to pay 20 grand or, you know, 25 grand or something before one ball was even bounced in their entertainment centre.
Yeah, I remember this ultimatum, I think.
Yeah, so what was going on is they were, every game, they had to pay 25 grand before anyone stepped a foot in there. So they were behind the eight ball to start with. So what they did in the later years is Butch Hayes, through his, he was running a bit of a scam through Great Mates, his company, mentoring company it was, mentoring children. He was running a bit of a thrifty through them. And what happened was is they eventually got the entertainment centre a couple of times for free each year because the entertainment center were under the obligation to put out free venue hire of the entertainment center a few times each year.
Right.
That was the council regulation or something like that. They had to do it. So because of Butch's Great Mates community service program he was running, he got those. Yeah, so they got a few there. But basically with the Hunter Pirates was one man. It was Jeff Belandon. He was the guy that owned the Hunter Pirates. And Butch was his sidekick. And Butch was the general manager of the Hunter Pirates. And basically Jeff was putting his hand in his pocket. Jeff was a very rich man. He was a very rich man. He had a lot of money and he had a lot of real estate. And he was collecting the cash and you know. So he was the one that was basically paying out of his pocket. Now, from day one, Jeff Lennon said, I've got a three-year plan. Notice how they only were in the league for 3 years?
Good point.
He said, I've got a three-year plan to you know, pay for the team, and after that, you're on your own. You've got to get a sponsor, you've got to get this, you've got to get that. Nobody came to the table. And so he hung it all up, and that was the three-year plan done. Over.
I mean, I think, as you said, I think Newcastle... It'd be cool, because right now we're at what? How many teams are we at? Nine teams.
Nine, yeah.
I think a good, most of the way through the 90s, you're looking at sort of, it ballooned anywhere to about 16 teams, I think, at the height of it. 14.
Yeah, you've got to have a team in Canberra. You've got the national, the capital. You know, Canberra's got to be in there. Hobart's got to be in there.
Yeah, they poo-poo it, Tasmania having a team, and I'm like, oh, because what about when Hobart plays Sydney, no one in Perth is going to care about it. Or Cairns, where no one's going to care about that game. I'm like, yeah, but sometimes when Perth plays Sydney, no one in Melbourne cares about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
Go the community club route and maybe even do a funny sort of non-for-profit thing where you make the club a non-for-profit and you buy a membership. I don't know. There's a few sporting teams that do that from... in the soccer and a few other places that could work.
Yeah.
I think...
But to have a true national league, you've got to have a team in Hobart and you've got to have a team in the national capital, And you've got to have... You know, like Newcastle, for example, they're probably, I don't know, I haven't looked at the figures, but they're in the top 10 of the biggest cities in Australia.
Big-ish, yeah, and a wealthy...
So why wouldn't they have a team as well, you know?
And a decent sort of... A population with a decent sort of expendable amount of cash. I think they're a decent choice. I think your obvious ones are, as we said, Canberra, somewhere in Tasmania, and maybe even Townsville. I think they're probably three that go in. And...
Oh, yeah, Townsville have got to be back. Yeah, Townsville have got to be back.
A team forever. They, I don't know what sunk them.
They went there and... They went away. Was it 93, I think, they came in the league?
Sounds about right.
Townsville.
Townsville Suns. Yeah. That sounds about right. They didn't win any games out.
So, you know, they went in, you know, they went in the league and then they got rid of them, you know, a couple of years ago. I don't know why, but, yeah, you got to have a true national league. If you're going to have a true national league, you got to have teams from the whole nation.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, like you got any stories for me or anything kind of like from around the traps?
I got some stories, but I mean, I don't know. I don't want to step on anyone's toes. I mean, I'll tell you a little. Ben Simmons, we were talking about him before.
Let's go with it.
A little Ben Simmons. We'll go straight to the top with Ben Simmons.
Why not?
I think it was 2009, maybe 2010 or 11, something like that.
Okay.
Anyway. I'm checking in to a flight. I'm going to Melbourne. I'm flying to Melbourne.
Okay.
And I'm getting in on the flight. And how can I say it? I'm flying Chappelle Corby style, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
You know? So
okay.
I got me boogie board in the luggage and I'm, you know, looking around.
Best to do that domestically, I'll just say that. Gotcha.
yeah. You know what I mean.
I know exactly.
But anyway, I'm not sweating bullets, but I'm, you know, just on the ball, you know. I'm sort of, you know. Anyway, I'm wearing my baggy basketball shorts, and of course, you know, baggy shorts and stuff get caught on the seats as you walk in and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, my shorts got caught on the seat, so I thought. And it was Dave Simmons tugging at my shorts.
No way.
And I'm like, g'day, Dave, how are you? Because, you know, obviously from the Hunter Pirates, he knew me from there. And we had a bit to do with each other there. And he goes, oh, here's Ben. And Ben's like bigger than what I've seen. I hadn't seen him since the Pirates folded, you know. And he's like, and like I said, I'm flying Chappelle Corby style. And I said, oh, yeah, I've got to go, man. You know, I've got to go. And he goes, I'll see you. When we get to Melbourne, I'll see you at the airport. We'll wait for you. We'll have a chat. And I'm like,
can't
shit. Can't do that, brother. Can't do that. Anyway, I'm literally getting off the plane. I'm literally the last person. I'm hoping, I'm praying to God that they didn't give a shit about me and kept going.
Watching the carousel like crazy. I know. Yeah.
And here is Dave and Ben. So they're waiting for me, man. I'm sweating. But it was all good. It was all good. Nothing happened. And, and the moral to that story is I was actually going to, I think, a Melbourne Tigers game, just a random game it was.
Yeah, sure.
I was going to the game, and I said to Dave, I said, man, you got your singlet up there and everything. Come on, man, you should be able to get me a couple of tickets. And he's like, man, I haven't been to an NBL game for 10 years, blah, blah, blah. Or whatever, 5 years. And I said, oh, no worries. I said, you know, I've already got my tickets anyway, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So 2 or 3 weeks later, I'm watching free-to-air, and all of a sudden, the camera pans over to Dave Simmons at the game. So I messaged him. I said, Dave, I thought you said you don't go to games, man. Yeah, so.
And I'm just thinking this season, like, you watched everything, like, you surprised Perth won it? Probably not. They were good.
Man, I didn't want Perth to win, but they deserved it. You know, they only had two imports, but they deserved it. So,
Because I was I do the podcast sometime with, you know, Buddy Nodge.
Yes.
So I do the podcast sometimes. And he was saying that, and I kind of had to agree with him, this was like the best Wildcat victory, just because, you know, while they were top of the table, they were tied, first, second, third. They went into the finals, you know, a little bit underhanded without the third import, and nobody could do it and did it. So for that respect, it was pretty good. Because every other time the Wildcats have won it, they've kind of been the red-hot favourite.
Dominant team, yeah.
Because Perth are just this, like, team over there that just, they're always, like, it's interesting to be another NBL club. And, like, I was looking at it the other day, like, it's pretty crazy to think, like, Andrew Gaze, right?
Yeah.
Gaze's greatest, blah, blah, blah. He's got, what, two championships?
As a player,
two. And I'm like, that's child's play in comparison to most of the Wildcats. Like, it's really hard to win NBL championships outside of Perth.
That, Jamie Martin's got like five or something, hasn't he?
it's just ridiculous. So, Shane Hill's got what, two, I think. One. He's got one. So it's like
one.
That one outside of Perth, it's worth a lot. And I just don't know who's going to do it next. But so I'm keeping my ear to the ground on sort of free agency stuff, but nothing really. By the time I've heard a rumor about it, it's established and put up on the net. So times.
What about Ty Wesley? Is he playing as an Australian or is he playing
import.
As?
He's an import.
How come? Because he was an Australian or a local the last 3 or 4 years.
He's born in Guam. His father's from Fiji. His mother's American. He was born in the USA. I believe it's because he was under the Oceania rule that apparently expired in this off season, which meant that players from Fiji are considered at that time weren't imports. And now it's just that simple. Like there's just one little rule that just fell through. As far as I understand, he's applying for New Zealand citizenship, and that'll be granted in there sometime during
the
season.
So that'll make him a local,
It'll make him a local again. Probably not for this season, but probably for the next. Because he's a good player.
I couldn't work that out. I couldn't work out because he'd been playing as a local for years, And I'm like, hang on, he's playing as an import now? What the hell?
I must admit, I say that whole Oceania rule story with pretty good confidence. I've never actually read anything, but someone explained. I think I heard Santa Maria talking about it, and he's pretty reliable. I think we hit the nail on the head with the idea for like a NBL show Saturday morning for the kids. I think the league. I was looking at all the old tapes, and it's all Channel 10. You know, 10's Wild World, World of Sport. Channel 10, like, because they're in the toilet at the minute, I believe, in comparison to 9 and 7. I think 9's on top, then 7, then 10. 10's got to take a gamble and go, you know what? Screw it. We're going to become the basketball channel. We're going to show games. You know, maybe a game live on a Saturday night and a game live on a Friday night or a Thursday night. You know, whatever night they don't do well.
But how does that happen with the current deal with the,
What did you think about that? Did you get up for games at 2:50 on Channel 99?
Oh, for the Grand Final?
Well, just all through the season. Like, would you rather have a Saturday night game or a...
Man, there was no...
It was all 2:50 in the afternoon on the...
They're all,
Which
and
I
they were good and I watched
them. Like, it's nice to not have a game every Saturday night because you want to go out, but... I'm thinking the NBL should go, all right, we're going to do a live game every Thursday. Thursday night, you know, not a great night.
Something different,
Something different. Or a Monday night game. Works well for football. Why not, you know?
Yeah.
That's what Channel 10 is. You were saying?
You go.
No, you go.
I was going to say, with the football, the with the Falcons that we're talking about before, it's sort of a football town here.
Yeah.
And what the go is that, you know, team's not winning, they're not getting behind them, you know, the Knights or whatever. And the Knights, you know, stadium holds, you know, 30,000 people. They get 22 there every week, you know.
Yeah.
When they're winning and carrying on, they get 30 grand there each week.
Yeah.
But, you know, the basketball, I mean, you know, when the Falcons in I think it was 92, they moved to the entertainment centre, they started getting, you know, 2,500-3,000 people. It only held, I think it was 3.5, or it might have been 4.5. But, you know, the Pirates were getting 1.5, and people just weren't showing up, and that's the reason why they called it.
It's tough. I don't know. Would things be different? Is basketball big there? It's just, even in Sydney, like, the Bogut factor. Like, when he came to Sydney, I just think if you took Bogut out of that team, would you get 14,500
Probably not. I worry about
what's going to happen to the league when he goes, because he's, you know, the league's obviously on a huge upswing, and surprise, surprise, it's been in the time that he's come back.
Well, cash in while we can, milk it while we can, because, you know.
Absolutely. And if he's our part owner in the Sydney Kings, he's got a contract through next year. He's playing some of his best basketball he has in the last 5 years. I don't see why he wouldn't sign on for another year, maybe even two, take him to sort of late 30s. I think he's 34 or 5 now. Could push him to late 30s. I don't know whether he wants to do that or not.
He could play in the NBL. Look at Josh Boone. What's he, 37, 38?
Yeah, Josh Boone's pretty old. I think this was Josh Boone's last season, sadly. I think.
I was going to say that. But, man, honestly, last year, he was gone.
He was gone.
He was
age can snap. Like it can, whether it's at 30 or 31 or 35 or 40, when it snaps, it goes. It's not a like gradual year on year. I think he really felt the pinch this year, and he just couldn't go. But he's a great player. I've no criticism.
Oh yeah. What sort of got him through was his NBA credentials. You know, he knew what the dude was doing on the court before the dude even knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what sort of got him through last year. But I think they sort of worked him out this year, and plus injuries and so on.
I really think this year he should go and give Andrew Bogut a handshake, because when Bogut came to the league, I think Melbourne went, oh, we better hang on. But I think because they were dicey about it, they didn't sign him for a long time. I think they were thinking, oh, Bogut, he's in. Yeah, all right, we'll pull the pin, we'll go for it. So maybe they do it again, but I wouldn't be betting on it.
Yeah, well, Sean Long, he's a free agent.
Oh, yeah, tell me, everybody keeps saying that. He's got rumours all over the country. God knows what he's going to do. I mean, I actually think he might do quite well in the G League and get a small chance with an NBA team. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he's too good for this league.
He's pretty good.
He's too good for the NBL.
He's pretty young as well. But yet again, Bryce Cotton's, 27, 28, signed a 2-3-year deal. Like, he's pretty content to stay in the league, so maybe it's a bit of life as well. Did you like watching Lamar Patterson for Brisbane play?
Man, I loved his game. Yeah, I loved his game. He was the only reason why I was watching Brisbane Bullets games.
I didn't like a lot of their team, but him I loved.
Yeah. I liked his game, and he had, you know, he was a money man. You give him the ball, and he'd put it in the hole.
Happen for himself. Something happen for himself or someone else. I really dug his game. He's, again, late 20s, and he's got the same agent as Bryce Cotton. So maybe that agent is like, you know, wants a bit of fast cash. He's like, hey, two-year deal.
Yeah.
You get your money. You get to stay in Brisbane. It's a beautiful town. I get my 10%, and you're done for the next 2 years. So maybe he stays in the NBL. I don't know.
Yeah, well honestly, if I was a South Melbourne Phoenix or whatever, I'd go after Melo Trimble and him. Yeah,
that'd be their three imports with Wesley, him, and that. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So that'd be their three imports for, and then maybe Wesley naturalizes halfway through the year and they go somewhere else. But no, the league's been good. I really hope the next team in the league is the Tasmania team, as we spoke about. I think that'd be neat, just to get a good coverage of the whole Canberra and Hobart, and get a good coverage of the whole country.
To be a proper national league, that's what you got to have. You've got to have that, and the foundation club. I mean, Newcastle's a foundation club, but so is Canberra.
Yeah, of course.
So why wouldn't you have Canberra in there? And you got to have, you know, all the way up north, Townsville. You got to have them in there as well, and even way down in Hobart, you got to have a team.
Yeah.
You got to. Doesn't matter if no one's going to be watching. You know, midnight Cairns versus Hobart. You know, as long as they're in the league.
The more teams you have, the more games you play, the more you play on TV. But if they can maintain that TV deal, you know, that's the thing. But as I was saying, Channel 10, take the punt. If anyone's listening from Channel 10, go for it. Like, become the, just go, you know what, screw it. It's a growing sport. Australia's got the number 2 international NBA League Pass subscriptions. We're just become the basketball channel. We're going to try it for a year or two, see how it goes. Can't do
that's worse it. Than
Dancing with the Stars or whatever they play right now. So.
Yeah, well, Married at First Sight.
Well, Married at First Sight, Channel 9. That's popular. That actually makes some sense. Clint, I think I'll end it there.
I'm talking the quality of the show.
Oh, yeah, well, that's great. Clint, I'll end it there, unless you got something you want to plug or say or anything.
Man, just, you know, I've got my website, clintdog.com.
All right,
and
I do know that one. I haven't poked around a lot, but I will.
Well, it's just my music. I do original songs. I'm a DJ, as mm-hmm. you've heard, and... yeah, I've done a few songs with some cats you might know of, and songs you hear every day on the radio. I've done songs with guys like that.
Okay.
There's a few on there, you know. I've got songs from the Dog Pound to, I've actually done a song with Snoop Dogg, but that's sort of not out yet. There's a bit of a mix of it out at the moment. Snoop and the Dog Pound and Clint Dogg in there.
There you go.
And Miss Toy, I've done about 10 songs with her. Miss Toy is, she's on that song, you know, Ice Cube, You Can Do It, Put Your Back Into It.
Okay, right.
She's the one that actually says, You Can Do It, Put Your Back Into It. I've done about 10 songs with her.
All right. Cool. I think that's one thing the NBL's got to do as well. Like, this is one thing that does bug me on the street. When you're walking around, you see some guy walking around with a, you know, Philadelphia, well, Simmons jersey's not too bad, but like, if you're walking around, say, Canberra with a Chicago Bulls cap on, like, you look like a bit of a twat. Like, drop that off, put on a Canberra Cannons hat, or, you know, if you're walking around Melbourne in a you know, Lakers cap, like, come on, pal, that's embarrassing. Put on a local cap. I think that's something the NBL's got to do, and give out a whole lot of free stuff to people and celebrities and stuff. Like, every and I think the other thing they should do is go to every AFL club. Like, let's say let's go with Sydney, right? Sydney Kings and the Swans should just be one and the same. So every Swans player, when they're not doing the AFL, should be at NBL games. Make the NBL and basketball kind of like the summer sport of Australia, because it's the perfect thing to line up with AFL. It's non-contact, you're not going to get hurt, but it's a similar game, sort of, you know.
And you see some of the AFL players at the games, and even some of the NRL players at the Sydney games and stuff like that.
They dig it.
You see a few of them, they get into it. What about Jamie Soward was doing the basketball show, you know, he's a rugby league player.
And then who's the guy who does the commentary in Adelaide sometimes?
The AFL guy.
Hugh Greenwood, is that? Am I right?
The guy that signed the AFL.
He's with the Crows. Yeah. The Crows and used to play, so there's a big crossover. I think Buddy Franklin used to play a little bit. Nick Natanui played a little bit. A couple others.
Yeah. It's the same sort of thing. It's the same footwork and ball skills and stuff that you use in both games. So it's, you know, I guarantee you some rugby league and AFL teams take some of the stuff that's on basketball courts and apply it to their team.
Oh, for sure. Well, Paul Roos has always hung out with the
Lakers. There you go.
He goes over there all the time, and Gaze.
Yeah.
But I think even on a small level, like every sort of musician, artist and stuff who, you know, wears that sort of urban apparel, replace the NFL jersey with the NBL, do that sort of stuff. That I think is a small grassroots thing they could do to just grow that bit of word of mouth amongst kids.
Yeah, that's it. And I haven't even started telling you about my jerseys, man. I've got so many NBL jerseys. It's not funny. I've got so many. I've got probably over 200 jerseys.
Get out of here!
I've got from Tiny Pinder to Shane Heal to my main man Jerry Everett. I've actually got Jerry Everett's original 87 and 88 NBL singlet for the Falcons, the one he actually played in. I've got them on my wall.
Holy
and I've shit. also got. Oh man, I've got so many replicas.
Would you have basketball cards, NBL basketball cards?
I've got a few. Yeah, I've got a few Falcons ones. I've got a Suns one. What else have I got? Maybe I've got a Magic one there somewhere. I've got a lot of Hunter Pirates ones.
I would think so. You got any like any other memorabilia that's like anything really? You know, you got
man. I got books. Look, put it this way, man.
What books have you got?
I got all types of books, man. And this is all I was about to say. I'm willing to bet that I've got the biggest jersey collection, NBL that is.
Yeah.
I've got the biggest NBL jersey collection in Australia, not to mention videos that we were talking about before, and also merchandise and stickers and pictures and caps.
Oh, I got to check this out.
Yeah, all Here's types the, of stuff.
I've got a garage somewhere with a box full of stuff, and it would be... I'm going to go ahead and say about 6 or 8 shoebox full of like mainly NBA basketball cards, but also like I got all the
NBL cards too. Yeah.
I got the Basketballer magazine from like late 80s. I don't know if you remember that one. Basketball News, but no, it was called the Australian Basketballer.
That was before Basketball News. I think it was Basketball News actually made it, I think.
Maybe.
I think so.
Six or eight copies of that magazine, but again, I got to check it out. I'm going there in a little bit to the storage.
I got the 88 yearbook. I got the 89 yearbook.
Oh, yeah. I remember those encyclopedias. I think I've got the 93 one.
Yeah, I've got a 91 maybe, something like that.
Yeah, I might have to check this out. This is crazy.
Honestly, I'm telling you, and this is what I'm about to say. I'm willing to bet. And if you want to put this out on the interview, that's quite happy with me. I'm willing to bet anybody in Australia that I've got the biggest collection of NBL merchandise in Australia. I'm talking singlets, I'm talking videos, I'm talking stickers, books, memorabilia, all types of stuff.
Okay,
guaranteed I've got the biggest collection.
check it out.
Well, I've got most of my singlets on my Facebook page, so if you want to check that out, they're public. So yeah.
All right, Clint, I'll leave it there, but that was a pleasure chatting. If I've got any questions for you,
no worries, man. Thanks for everything.
Okay, keep.
I will.
Keep everything away. Okay, you know, that stuff.
I do. No, I spend my life doing that. That is my life.
Clint, until next time, all right?
All right, man.
Ciao.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
See ya. Bye.